Season.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come into them.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. And you know, I have something to say. You know, sometimes when you're just talking, like all of a sudden I'm preaching and all of a sudden a song comes, because you know what, this is what's appropriate. You have to sing right now. Just have to sing. Saint Paul was very much like that. You know, he'd be preaching or he'd be writing, and all of a sudden he'd start from his very essence to be able to worship God. You know, preaching to the Ephesians, he's telling the Ephesians about the body of Christ, about the church, about Christ being the head, all this wonderful stuff. And then all of a sudden there's no more preaching, but there's worship, there's praise. And this is what he says in Ephesians 3. It goes from writing about to praising God. Listen. Ephesians 3:14. And the Word of God says, that is why I kneel before the Father, from whom every father in heaven and on earth takes its name. Okay, this is so important because, first of all, the reason why people don't know how to be fathers is because fatherhood comes from above. All fatherhood comes from the Heavenly Father. That's why we cannot call Him the Heavenly Mother, because He is not the Heavenly Mother. He is the Heavenly Father. And all fatherhood comes from the Heavenly Father, like it or not. Now, you can rewrite the scriptures if you want, and the Bible tells you if you do, you go to hell. But that's another issue. You just read that last chapter of the book of Revelation. But all fatherhood comes from above, from the Father. In other words, anyone who is a father, be they a natural father, biological father, or a spiritual father, or an adoptive father, gets his identity from the Heavenly Father, from no one else. And I really think that's why there are so few fathers around, because not only haven't they been fathered, but fathers get their identity from the world. And you know, if you ever look at television, you always think about fathers as being the most stupid people in the whole world. They're dumb. They're always dumb. When you throw down the Father, you are throwing down the Heavenly Father, in all reality, because fatherhood comes from God Himself. Now, it's not something natural. It's supernatural. Let's see what else it says. From whom every father in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that He, who is He, the Father, will bestow on you, us, the Ephesians, you and me too, gifts in keeping with the riches of His glory. Oh, my Lord. Come on, let's read that one again. I pray that He, the Father, would bestow on you gifts in keeping with the riches of His glory. Now again, glory, kabod, kabod Yahweh, the heavy presence of God. It's really that attribute that is only God alone. The riches of His glory. My God, what does that mean? That gifts beyond compare. That gifts beyond, you see, God's not cheap. That He would share with us gifts beyond His glory, the riches of His glory. Just to be in the presence of God when the glory of God is falling. Like Ryan was telling me the other day, he was at some kind of a conference, and they were all on their faces. Bishop, people, place they could be was on their faces, weeping, everybody weeping. Now, you just see what that glory is about, that God would bestow on us, you know, gifts according to the riches of his presence. What does James say? You have not because you ask not. And you don't even know it's available. So if you don't know it's available, how are you going to get it? If you don't know that something's available, how are you going to receive it? It could come down from a parachute from the glory. I don't think so. You know, knowing that something's available will give you the ability at least to pray about it. Will give you the ability at least to ask for it. And remember what Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy would be full. That's what he said. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy would be full. But if you don't know that the Father has gifts for the church, according to the riches of his glory, you know what we're going to be living like? Paupers. We're going to be scrounging around. But that's not God. God is not a father that wants his children scrounging. He wants to provide for us what we need. Now, I want to tell you something. I've never been on opium, or I've never been on speed, and I've never been on anything like that. But you want to know what? When a drug addict comes to me, you want to know what? I have the gifts to help that person according to the riches of his glory. Someone came yesterday. This person, we've been praying for this person, and he's a beautiful person. He's a beautiful person. But you know what? The poor guy, you know, many years he's been hooked on drugs. And, you know, he's in the middle of settling court cases, and he says, I want to go see Father Tom. I have only seen this person twice. This is the third time. And I listen to him, you know, and I'm when I'm listening to this guy, I'm thinking, you know, this could be me. This boy was raised in a wonderful Christian family. This boy was given a Catholic education and knows God. I do not know where it started, you know, but I know that God has gifts for him according to the riches of his glory. I really think that my friend this time has reached the lowest point. And you know what I told my friend? I said, next time, you won't have a chance. You'll be dead. And that's real, because he told me the whole experience of the last time. He said it was never so bad. And you know that the devil wants him dead, even as the devil wants you dead. But there are gifts according to the riches of his glory. Start to ask for them. What gift do you need? You might even not know the gift that you need. What are you doing? Whatever you're doing, whatever your ministry is, wherever you are, maybe you're a father, you need to ask the Father to share his fatherhood with you. That's what you need to do, according to the riches of his glory. And may the Father strengthen you inwardly through the working of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's not what the world teaches. The world teaches, you know, put war paint on. The world teaches, put lipstick on. The world teaches, spray your hair. We just saw this lady, 58 years old, who had her surgical breasts were whatever. Dead. Dead. Now, here's this crazy lady, poor bum, now she's in the coffin. But you see, the Father cares about our outward being, but more so the inward manifestation, that he may strengthen you inwardly through the working of the Spirit. Now, I'm not against the outward, but I'm saying, you know, we've made it a cult. We've made the outward appearance a cult, the cult of beauty. It's a cult. You know, you get up, the other morning, we went to New York, it was like 2 weeks ago, it was early in the morning, and here the cultists are running around, 5 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. I'm saying, dear Lord, if we were as faithful with our prayer life as these cultists that are into running, you know, but they run in the snow, they run in the heat. There's a lady, I'm going to tell you about this woman in Winthrop. She stops me every once in a while because she knows I'm heavy, you know, and she says, you know, you're going to die. And I said, yeah, eventually I will die. And she says, you need to do something. I said, you know, I know you're right, I need to do something. But, you know, her legs are all orange. She eats so many carrots that her legs are all orange. And I'm colorblind. And I ask people, are her legs orange? Yeah, her legs are orange legs. This lady, and I'm not saying she's a bad lady, but she doesn't know the divine any more than, I don't know, but she'll be running. She's running when it's 10 below. She's running when it's 107. But give me a break. What's 107? Just stay home in an air-conditioned room just for a little while. But no. It becomes an obsession. Anything can become an obsession, even religion. That's why faith is not an obsession. There's a big difference between religiosity and faith. Well, anyway, the Lord wants to strengthen us in the inner person through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is the most important ingredient in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. You know, I've been thinking about this morning, because Ryan said this morning, in medio stat virtus. That means, you know, in the middle is virtue. I'm not talking about wishy-washy lukewarmness. That's not the middle. That's not what Thomas Aquinas meant. And that's not what Aristotle meant. In the middle lies virtue. But you know what? Sin has to do with being away from the middle. Justification means, you know, being in the middle, being justified, being in balance. I want to think about how the church since 1960s has shown itself, okay? Are we living what we teach in medio stat virtus, in the middle stat is balance? Listen, well, in the 60s and in the 70s, because I was there in the 70s in the seminary, it was completely wild, you know? It was wild insofar as the doctrine was absolutely watered down, and there was really no faith that you don't have to believe. But they didn't say it outwardly. If they said it outwardly, at least they'd be honest that the virgin birth wasn't real and that Jesus didn't do all these miracles. All the old garbage. Okay, we've heard it all. I don't want to go through it again. But the point is, that's what we were taught. And there was no Pentecost, and there was no Cornelius, and there was no visitation of the angel to Cornelius. And none of that happened. Okay? We'll call that A. All right? That's A. You know what the middle is, M. But now it's what year? 2007. In the seminary, now they're into orthodoxy, you know? And everything's got to be orthodox. It's got to have precise orthodoxy. Now, let me tell you that the priests of the 50s were orthodox. And many of them were the child molesters. Orthodoxy doesn't do it either. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be orthodox. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is to stress orthodoxy, and then you have someone coming in who's a drug addict, you know how far you're going to get? By you telling them the creed? He's going to walk out. You better have more than orthodoxy to give this woman or this man or this person who's just had an abortion. You better have more than orthodoxy. You better be strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Ghost. Because if you're not strengthened in the inner person by the Holy Ghost, your orthodoxy is going to run through your fingers like sand. Now, again, I'm not against orthodoxy, you see? But you see, we go from A to Z. We go from crazy theology to absolute orthodoxy. But what's the middle? Orthodoxy strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. That's it. They call that Pentecost. That's what they call it. They call that Pentecost. They call that Pentecost. We are living in the day of Pentecost. We are living in the time of the Spirit. This, I don't want to throw away orthodoxy. I'm Orthodox. I believe that Our Lady was conceived a virgin. I believe she is Mary ever virgin. I believe that. I believe that there was an angelic appearance in Nazareth. I believe that Joseph was the chaste husband of Mary. I believe those things. But you see, you can believe all those things. But when the lady comes in that had three abortions, what are you going to tell her? Mary was a chaste virgin? No. But you know what you can do? That her virginity can be restored spiritually, even as the virginity of Mary Magdalene was restored spiritually through the working of the Spirit in the inner man. You see, you can have all the orthodoxy in the whole world. It doesn't get you anyplace. Other than, we've got the right words. And you know what? When I was a kid, used to watch You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. Say the secret word and divide $100. Just saying the right words really doesn't do too much. I want to have the right words, and I want to be strengthened in the inner person, in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit. I want the whole package. Don't get what I'm saying, that I'm not Orthodox. I believe in the infallibility of the Pope when he speaks from the chair. I believe that. But you know who is infallible? It's not the Pope. It's the Church. And the Church has given the Pope the office of infallibility. It's the Church's infallibility. What? Because Jesus Christ promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Church, that it can neither deceive nor be deceived in matters of doctrine and in matters of morals. See, it's all about Jesus again. You have to always go back to Jesus. See, it's not that Benedict's infallible. He really isn't. The infallibility is the infallibility of the Church, and Benedict shares the gift that God gives through the Holy Spirit of what the Church gives him through the Holy Spirit. That infallibility when it comes to morals and faith for the protection of God's people. See, I'm Orthodox. But apart from the strengthening in the inner man of the Holy Spirit, you know what you have? You've got words, and words just don't do it. I was with some people last night who are in jail, and I'm going to tell you, when you are ministering to prisoners, you better have more than orthodoxy. You better be real, because these men or these women have gone through the mill, okay? You better be real, and you better have more than orthodoxy. You better be strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, and you better speak to them the way that they need to hear it, because they are in straits living in little cells, especially during the time of Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holy days, you know? All my orthodoxy last night would have got me no place. I was Orthodox, but I was more than Orthodox. I was real. I told them, I said, it stinks to be here during Thanksgiving. It stinks completely. But you know what? Don't waste it. Even though it stinks and you hate it, the Lord can use it. Unite this awful suffering with the cross of Jesus Christ. I says, maybe a bum drinking or taking heroin will be converted. And if you don't want to unite it for the bum, unite it for me. I said, don't waste it. It's awful. Let's admit the reality. You want to be home. You want to be with your family. Of course. But look, you're not. Don't waste it. The cross of Jesus is ever powerful, united with the cross of Jesus. Let your suffering have some meaning. If you're going to suffer, at least give it some meaning. And I'm not talking about the suffering of cancer. I talk about the suffering of what you're going to go through this week and in the weeks to come. Don't waste it. You can be like the Carmelite nuns behind the walls. that you can have more of an effect on the world by the suffering you endure. Even though you inflicted it upon yourself, many of you, I'm going to tell you, you've been forgiven. Don't waste it. That's real. That's real. That's real. If you can't be real with people, you want to know what? They're not going to come listen to you. They want to hear someone real, someone who's been strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Ghost, someone who says things, maybe not like the king's, with the king's English, but says things that need to be said because no one else says them. Let's continue. And may Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh, yes. Faith is foundational. May he dwell in your heart through faith. Eric was telling me about someone who started this beautiful complex in Buffalo, New York. He was a priest, young. I don't know if he's young or old, but he built a basilica. He built an orphanage. He built, you know, schools. You know, he was a man of God. They buried him in the basilica. Listen to this now. When he got there, you know, and if you know anything about Buffalo, you know, it's very cold. So there was no way to heat these big monstrosities. But you know what the man said? God will show me. And he dug a hole or put a stick in the ground or did something, and out came natural gas. You see, this is what the Word of God says. May Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. The saints are all alike. They live by faith. In other words, they weren't looking at their bank accounts. They were trusting in providence. By the way, last Saturday was the feast of Our Lady of Divine Providence. Our Lady of Divine Providence. Saturday's feast. Not many people know that. Father Randall told me that when I was preaching. But you see, that priest, he was not only an architect who built these buildings with the nickels and dimes of the people, but he knew that God would provide the heat. And to this day, natural gas flows. Where is that faith in the church? Where is that faith in us? That's what the scripture says. May Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And then may charity, love, charity, be the root and foundation of your life. Faith working through love. That faith would dwell in your hearts, but charity would be the root and foundation of your life. Ever to love. To love. To love even when you are abused. That doesn't mean you take abuse. It means to continue to love. And even if the only way you love the person is by praying for them, that's love. Faith working through love. Charity. I love the word charity. It's more than love. You know, and it's a sacred word, charity. Love can mean anything. Charity goes the extra mile. Charity does for those who do not do for you. Jesus said, when you have a reception, who do you invite? Those that will invite you back? No. Invite the blind, the lame, the crippled. I remember my ordination. My Lord, there they were, the blind, the lame, and the crippled. And I had to smile. But I do want to tell you, all my motives were not Snow White. Oh, I was looking for the big purse, too. But you know what? I'm going to tell you about the big purse. This is real. I have never said this on radio, but I'm going to tell you about the big purse. I think I got $5,000. But you know what? There was a man in my parish who wanted to start a restaurant and needed money. And I prayed about it. Somehow I thought God wanted me to give him my $5,000. And you know what? I did. Restaurant failed. I never saw my $5,000 again. Ah! Okay, let's continue. Thus, you will be able to grasp fully with all the holy ones, with all the saints, to grasp fully, to understand. You do not understand unless you stand under. You cannot understand the cross unless you stand under the cross. Understanding and grasping means you need to partake of it. You just don't understand by book knowledge. It is experiential knowledge. It is experiential knowledge. You do not grasp things just because you say them. You grasp things as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. When everything feels like it's going to fall through, you grasp faith in the faith in God that he's going to see you through, because now you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and you've got to trust him, and if you don't, you're going to die. That's grasping. And then you see that he's all faithful, and no one's like the Lord, and no one's like Jesus. To grasp fully with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love, and experience this love which surpasses all knowledge, and that's what I want to finish with. To experience the love of God which surpasses all knowledge. St. Paul says, knowledge puffs up. But this experience of the love of God will change you in the inner man. Why? Because it is the experience of the Holy Spirit. It is the experience of God Almighty. And it's the experience that will teach you to be experience faith in your heart that works through love in the inner man. Foundational. Please, I pray that you experience God during these days. Because if God is not experiential, he's dead. He is experiential. He loves you. He is with you. He will never leave you. Just tell him, I want a testimony. Give me a testimony. Because when they bring me before the judges, I want to be able to give the testimony. Even as it said in Luke's gospel last week, do you have a testimony of the experience of his love? If you don't, ask him for one as a thanksgiving gift. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season